بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم، فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على القاعدين درجة، وكلا وعد الله الحسنى، وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين أجرا عظيما، درجات منه ومغفرة ورحمة، وكان الله غفورا رحيما. وقال رسولنا وحبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم: الجهاد ماض الى يوم القيامه. وبعد، this prior to continuing, let us inshallah try and fill the gaps that are in front of us. Obviously, if there is an excuse for us to lean health or age, then it is fine, but if there is a gap in front of us, let us fill up that inshallah. The sunnah of the khutbah of Jumu'ah is to try and sit as close as possible to the minbar. Jazakumullah khairan. Respected ulama-i kiram, huffaz of the Qur'an-i Kareem, elders and friends in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The value of iman can be understood in the hadith wherein our beloved Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تقوم الساعة على أحد يقول الله الله. As long as there is a single human being on the face of this earth only taking the name of Allah, saying Allah, Allah, the value of this iman is so great that this is sufficient for the existence of this earth. And we learn in the extension of this hadith that at the time when there will be nobody left believing and taking the name of Allah is when this world will cease to exist, will not be worthy of existence, when there is no one remembering and worshipping the one great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say, Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-iman wal-islam. When a great personality passes on from this world, there are many ways in which he is commemorated. There are condolence gatherings, there are memorials, there are monuments put up in the name of that person. Sometimes that personality is celebrated by means of public holidays. The objective of all of these commemorations are twofold. On the one hand, to bring to the fore the outstanding attributes and qualities possessed by that personality, while secondly, an encouragement for those who remain behind to try and take lesson from the life of that great personality and inculcate those qualities that distinguish that human being from others that had given him the speciality and the popularity to be, if not in a physical term, the king, to be the king of hearts. The incident and the news that we had woken up to on Monday morning is that Osama bin Laden had been martyred, alleged assassination in a sovereign country that had taken place. Now I say alleged. Many of us will be aware of the fact that there are many unanswered questions, many strings hanging loosely. And just this morning in an article by Peter Craig Roberts, if I'm not mistaken, a former member of the US Treasury, as well as being a special advisor on many, many councils, clearly points out the discrepancies in the narrative of this incident from its inception until today. The spokesman at the White House, Jay Garner, yesterday or day before yesterday, had to once again give an updated and changed narrative of what exactly had transpired. Some of the discrepancies pointed out is that first we were told there was a severe firefight and resistance, And then we are told that not a single shot was fired. We were told that one of the females in the compound was used as a shield. We are then told, no, she rather put herself on the line, and now we are told she was killed in crossfire. It was initially mentioned that one of the sons of Sheikh Usama, Khalid, had been martyred, but this has been now reviewed and say, no, rather it was his son Hamza. So many discrepancies, and one that many specialists in this field have been absolutely perplexed and amazed at, is that very soon after the so-called assassination, the body be dumped into the sea, into the ocean, in the name of fulfilling Islamic rights. And to clarify, that is not in accordance with Islamic rights. If a person passes away on land, then that person should be honored with burial on land and not into the ocean. So many loose ends hang around, many unanswered questions. There are some who opine that he may have passed on a long time ago, and that this incident or the news of his passing on is being capitalized on for various reasons. However, very, very important for us, one striking, outstanding quality in the life of this personality is sacrifice. Born into an estate that exceeded $250 million. 80% of the roads in Saudi Arabia have been built by the Bin Laden company. Yet, when the Muslim lands of Afghanistan had been invaded by the Soviet Union, he had sacrificed the life of all of these luxuries to personally participate in the protection of the lives and the dignity and the lands of Islam and the Muslimin. And that time was considered a hero by the West. But when he stood up once again for the invasion of Muslim lands in Saudi Arabia, overnight he became a terrorist. In this week, while visiting one of the informal settlements, the leadership of the local community, in remarking on this incident, expressing utter sadness on what has been narrated to them, says that one man's terrorist may be another man's struggle hero, as in this country itself, many individuals this law applies to. Now the quality, the passion of sacrifice, and the benefits that emanate from it, the seerah and the history of Islam itself is replete with such incidents. This deen has reached us from its very infancy stages through great sacrifices, sacrificing of life, sacrificing of blood, sacrificing of wealth, sacrificing by undergoing severe pangs of hunger. Whenever there was the ultimate sacrifice rendered by members of this great ummah, this ummah had flourished to levels that amazes the mind. We go back into the pages of Islamic history, the 9th year after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been made a Nabi by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the persecution meted out generally to the Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah, and especially on the passing on of Abu Talib, who was a defendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though not accepting Islam himself, prompted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take this da'wah further to one of the surrounding towns, the second largest city in the peninsula at the time, Ta'if, with great hope that the leadership and the people of Ta'if would accept Islam and thus render the persecuted Muslims a refuge, a sanctuary of sanctity, and in future generations that Ta'if itself can become a springboard for the spread of Islam. With great hope, the beloved Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went to Ta'if, addressing the three leaders of the town. The response, let alone the normal Arab hospitality, was one of enmity, of hatred. One of them said, could Allah not find somebody else? Another remarked that, were you the only person on whom Allah could lay his hands? And a third person said mockingly that if you are a prophet, then to oppose you would be to invite danger, mockery of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man aada li waliyan faqad adhantuhu bil harb." The one who proclaims enmity to any of my friends, the beloved special servants of Allah, is waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the third of them said, to oppose you would be to invite danger if you are a prophet, and if you are an imposter, then there is no sense talking to somebody who is a liar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then resorted to the common people who also rejected his da'wah and very straightforwardly asked him to leave Taif. It did not suffice on this. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Taif, they set the street urchins on our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, scoffing, jeering, taunting, whistling, and worse than that, stoning the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that blood oozed from the body. The Mubarak feet clung to the sandals because of the clots of blood. Now this is the ultimate sacrifice. Let us now look at the fruits that emanate from this great sacrifice. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves Taif in this state of brokenheartedness, and really the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions are the ultimate example. As far as hunger is concerned, sometimes 3 months consecutively, no fire would be lit in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to cook any food because no food was found. They would merely suffice on dates and water. The house of Sayyidina Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma, sometimes days upon end would go without them finding anything to cook. On one occasion when little food was brought forward, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha was so afflicted with the pangs of hunger that she had bent over, her face almost touching the pot in cooking because of the pangs of hunger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion addressing the various hujjaj, inviting them towards Islam, would be taunted, would be scoffed at, would be spat upon, sand would be thrown over his Mubarak face. And after all of that, his beloved daughter Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha would come with a cup of water and give her father to drink and wipe his Mubarak face. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would console her, "Oh my beloved daughter, do not be worried because Allah's help is with me at all times." Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, the conveyor of the greatest amount of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would sometimes not find food for consecutive days and he would faint because of the spasms of hunger. Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu an, met a very honorable end by being poked by a spear by Abu Jahl, Fir'aun hadhihi al-ummah, in the most private part of her body, and thereby attained the great honor of being the very first martyr in a long list of great martyrs in the history of Islam. You know, in the mind games that are being waged against Muslims to try and bring about despondency, and a Muslim never becomes despondent in any situation, in the mind games being played is that the body allegedly has been mutilated very, very badly. But for this we find many classical examples. This is indeed, shahada is the greatest form of death. Any person who really understands the reality of this knows that there can be no more noble end than being martyred in the name of Allah, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, the beloved uncle and defendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was martyred in the battle of Uhud, his body was mutilated, nose and ears cut off the body, the stomach, the belly was cut open, and Hinda, who later on was guided towards Islam, ate from the liver and other, and the heart of Sayyidina, and she chewed on the liver and the heart of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. The sister of Hamza radiallahu anhu, Sayyida Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, approaches the battlefield. Her son implored her that, "Please do not look at the body of your brother, it will cause you too much distress." She sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go ahead, knowing that she would be able to handle the situation, and insisted upon looking at his body. And when she saw the mutilated body of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, all she said was, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and made a dua for him in the best of words. Anas ibn al-Nadr radiallahu ta'ala an, an outstanding companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about whom many commentators opine that the verse min al-mu'minina rijalun sadaqu ma'ahadu Allah alayhi, among the believers there are those who are real men in the eyes of Allah ta'ala, who have fulfilled the covenant and the promise that they have taken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do they say that this verse implies to him he had missed the opportunity of the battle of Badr, and when Uhud came about he promised Allah, oh Allah, if ever you give me an opportunity again, I will prove myself, my dedication and my love to you. During the battles, when the Muslims were in a state of disarray, many were being martyred, there was an attack launched from the rear. He proceeded straight into the battlefield and remarked to Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala or to Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala that which way are you going? I can smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from the Mount of Uhud. Threw himself into the thick of battle for the love of Allah and the love of this deen, this passion of sacrificing for this deen. And when he had met his honorable end of martyrdom, his body could not be recognized because more than 80 wounds had been afflicted on the body by means of swords, spears and arrow. It was only by a small mark on his fingertip that his sister was able to identify his body. So this is a great form, a great honor for those who have strived in this path. So the passion of sacrifice rendered by many in this ummah really perplexes the mind. Returning to the incident under discussion, Taif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on departing from Taif, Jibreel alayhi salam and the angel deputed to be in charge of the mountains offered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in retribution for the way that they had treated the Nabi, the beloved of Allah ta'ala, the entire cities could be crushed by the mountains around the city of Taif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the epitome of mercy and compassion to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, O Allah, spare them, for if they have not accepted, then maybe the later generations would definitely accept. Subhanallah, the first fruit that emanates from this great sacrifice, that in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already, in the 8th year after the Hijrah, the entire city of Taif, the residents from the tribe of Taqif accepted Islam in their entirety. Subhanallah, look at the fruits of this great sacrifice from the beloved of Allah. It was a member of this very same tribe. 92 Hijri, a ship of Muslim travelers that had gone to Basra, and while passing what is today Karachi, a Hindu king in the areas of Sindh, Raja Dahir, attacked and looted the ship. The women were taken as captives. Some of the Muslims managed to flee and run away and went on to inform the Khilafah. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, at the time the governor of Kufa, when he had heard about the possibility of the dignity of the Muslim women being impeded, notwithstanding the fact that many of the Muslims in the very same year, under the leadership of Tariq bin Ziyad, at the tender age of 22, had already gone to Spain, a voluntary army was gathered, and who was appointed as the leader, the emir of this army, the very son-in-law of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, Muhammad bin Qasim al-Thaqafi, with this group of volunteers entered Sindh, and this was the first major inroad of Islam into the Indo-Pak subcontinent, where millions and millions of Muslims are indebted to this young 17-year-old valiant soldier of Islam. Once again, the spirit of sacrifice, sacrifice upon sacrifice. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded further, a slave who was a Christian slave from the areas of Iraq, sent by his masters, who had seen the pitiable condition in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, brought a bunch of grapes and offered it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to eat of the grapes, he said, Bismillah. This Christian slave whose name was Addas was amazed that where did you learn to say Bismillah? Nobody in these parts of the world recites this prayer before eating. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Oh Addas, tell me from where are you? He says, I'm from Nanwa in Iraq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that is the place of Yunus alayhi salatu was salam, Yunus bin Matta. Once again Addas asks, what do you know about Yunus? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is my brother, for he was a Nabi and I'm also the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There and there, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluh. Shahada and entering into the fold of Islam. The third manifestation of the fruits of sacrifice, it was on that very same return journey with a broken heart when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in tahajjud salah under a tree. And Allah Ta'ala speaks about this incident in the Quran. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. The very first group of jinnat who had come to investigate the changes in the heavens happened to be around that same tree. And when they heard the beloved of Allah and our beloved Sayyidina Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting the Quran with a broken heart, their hearts were touched and they there and there accepted Islam on the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and returned back to the people in the area, Nasibin in Sham, as inviters to the deen of Islam, the oneness and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, somebody asked Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, tell us about the severest punishment that had been meted out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the name of Islam. She says, one day, as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah in the precincts of the Kaaba Sharif, when one of the wretched enemies of Islam tied a cloth around the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and pulled him so severely that many thought that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been strangulated to death. She says, nobody else had the courage to go and protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who went and pushed him away and said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Will you kill a man merely on the basis that he says, my Rabb, my sustainer is Allah and stands up for truth and haqq? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, when he had been Amirul Mu'mineen, once asked the congregation, tell me, who do you think is the most brave of all people? They replied, you, O Amirul Mu'mineen. And understandably, for indeed he was karrar, the brave lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As'adullah al-Ghalib. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an put his face into his shawl and wept profusely and said that the most brave of the Summa is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. And he says, when the Meccans were torturing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the precincts of the Kaaba, nobody had the courage and the himmat to go and protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Abu Bakr radiallahu an went putting his life on the line and protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On another occasion, while Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying salah in front of the Kaaba Sharif, one of the wretched enemies of Islam went and brought the intestines of a camel that just had been slaughtered and placed it on the Mubarak back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while in sajda, so much so that he could not get up from there. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, the leader of women folk in Jannah, had the courage, being the daughter of the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, to remove those intestines and even scold those who had meted out this punishment to her beloved father. So we can go on and on and on discussing the sacrifices by whose means this deen of Islam has reached us. And really, another point to ponder upon, in no way can the innocent taking of innocent lives be condoned. The incidents of 9/11, as the days go on more and more, many civil engineer groupings have gone on to prove that they were imploded by means of inner explosions, but never has it been proven in a court of law, in a fair court of law, that this act had been carried out by the Muslimin and those accused from the Muslim Ummah. But let us think further on, that from that point up to now, how many millions of innocent Muslim lives and blood has been shed. In Pakistan alone, in the tribal areas, in the last 6 months, an average of a drone attack, one every 2 days, every second day a drone attack, many have resulted in tens and sometimes hundreds of lives, wedding parties, etc. have been bombed. You know, when the sanctions were implemented against Iraq, 600,000 children had lost their lives. Madeleine Albright at the time, on being asked about this, says it is a cheap price to pay. It is a cheap price to play, and this is the value of Muslim blood. So when a personality stands up with the courage to protect the dignity of the Muslim Ummah, then amongst the many other qualities, the one that we really take lesson from is this quality of sacrifice. Sacrificing one's homeland, sacrificing what could have been a life of utter luxury, to lead a life of austerity, to lead a life far away from the homeland. And all of this for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for protecting the dignity of Muslims in all parts of the world. And the least we can do to take away from here is let us do some sincere introspection and let us not lose heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said these words, and if there is absolutely no doubt, al-jihadu madin ila yawm al-qiyamah. This Mubarak action will continue up to the day of Qiyamah, a noble action. A Sahabi once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my colleague has gone out for jihad fi sabilillah, how can I be equal to him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, you can never be equal to him. On his insistence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that when your brother goes out, then go into your masjid and continuously remain in salah and fast every day until he returns. In that way you can be equated to him in some way or the other. Some sincere introspection, and let us also remember that Islam flourishes and continues to go on. It is not based on personalities. When Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, the great general of Muslim armies, was conquering one place after other like dominoes in the lands of Sham, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, what great wisdom and foresight he was blessed with, removed him as the Amir and appointed another Amir on his place. On being asked about this very strange move, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu remarked in words, the meaning of which is that Islam has never depended upon personalities. If I do not remove Khalid and he happens to be honored with martyrdom, the courage of the Muslims would be at the lowest step. So sincere introspection into our lives. What am I doing as far as sacrifice for myself, for my beloved deen, for my beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In all aspects of our lives, let us see how we can up the level of sacrifice, of qurbani, for this beloved deen and for our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. This is a very important announcement, inshallah. Is that every year, alhamdulillah, we know at this time of the year, the blanket project, wherein we collect monies from the community, inshallah. Thereafter, blankets are distributed in the very needy areas, the informal settlements, the indigenous masses of this country. And really, if one goes into these informal settlements and localities, we will see the dire need of such help. And if one has to be there, one can only be there to fully appreciate what a difference it makes in the life of a person and how it is appreciated by a person. Many instances, the first personal blanket that they have possessed in their lives, as we have said yesterday, when we walk into our homes, there is underfloor heating, there is a heater. When we get into bed, 2-3 blankets and duvets covering us. For many of them, the only protection from the sub-zero temperatures in the nights of winter may be some corrugated iron or steel or a thin sheet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that a person contributes towards the upliftment of his creation. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the entire creation of the household of Allah ta'ala, the most beloved in the eyes of Allah ta'ala is the one who is most kind and compassionate to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a blanket will cost 53 rand, inshallah. the funds that can be contributed towards this is from Lillah, and if we have interest that should be disposed of, we can also contribute that. Let us inshallah, as always, open up our hearts and donate as generously as possible. Who knows, we make the intention that, oh Allah, just as I'm spending to shield a person from the cold, oh Allah, shield and protect me from the burning fires of Jahannam. So inshallah, let us open up our hearts and donate as generously as possible, inshallah. Jazakumullah.